It's you to get this with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli. Today, have you seen the cast of that new TV series about Tony Mockbell and Carl Williams? One Australian actor has been left off the list and he's not happy. Isn't that right, Ed Cavalli?
Oh, ropeable. Crystal's Guide to Cultural Sensitivity.
And, well, down the same side of the street, Pamela Anderson salutes the nation of Lapland.
The pub... What? The Pelican Menace strikes again.
It's the first time one of my stories has interested you, Ed. Where are those new Sopranos episodes? We'll see if we can prize them out of the network.
Brace yourself for the rubber duck invasion, people.
How would you like your entire life outsourced? It could happen today.
Bank sells home with corpse inside.
And Pete Smith, of course, our mentor, our guardian, is dropping by for a bit of advice, and we're going to see if we can help him save Channel 9, because according to that new book, someone's killed it.
What's cuter than a German polar bear?
It's all coming up today on Get This, where more effort is required, according to one respected broadcaster.
As a teenage girl, I'm proud to say you need to do more. Get a life, cyber freaks.
Yes, I think you've made that point. Thank you, John Mellencamp. Crumbling down here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M with myself, Tony Martin.
Bewildered.
Pushing those buttons, it's Richard Marsland.
Grubby.
And, of course, in the sidecar, Ed Cavalli.
Hungry.
As always.
It's a good thing.
Very true.
Now, today what we're going to do on the show is we're going to save the Channel 9 network because there's some sort of problem over there. I haven't read this book. Who's Killed Channel 9? Have you seen that?
I've seen that. Yeah. I think ever since they, I think when they got rid of Humphrey, it was the beginning of the end.
Really?
Those guys.
Carl Stefanovic, did he kill Channel 9? Who's done it?
Well, he is a robot sent back from the future to end entertainment. So
Pete Smith will be dropping by in the second hour, and we're going to see if we can sort this thing out.
Looking forward to it.
But, hey, I reckon they're having a good crack at it with their new Underbelly TV series, which is a mini-series based on what's going on in Melbourne with your Carl Williams, your Tony Mockbell.
Yeah.
Lot.
Your underworld types.
And Ed Cavalli has been staring at the photo all day, and I can't help but think there's a little bit, why aren't I in the photo?
Look at this face. You can't tell me I can't play a 55-year-old Italian man. I'm perfect for it. I can do it the accent as well. Come on.
Who's in there?
I'm perfect for it.
Is it Blue Healers Goes Blue Murder? Is that what they've done?
Yeah, but what I like, it's got a hint of Acropolis now. George Capignaris is in there.
Oh, fantastic.
As he's playing George Delatros.
Yeah, and I don't remember his catchphrase.
No, I don't remember his at all. Now, this is the bit I like. Martin Sachs is in there from, what would you remember Martin Sachs from?
Is he from Blue Healers?
I think he was from Blue Healers.
I think he might have been in that telly movie, My Husband, My Killer.
He was,
which was a great telly movie because it gave away the ending in its title.
Get that out of the way early, I reckon.
Was it My Husband, comma, My Killer?
Yeah, okay.
Not enough commas in titles.
I think either way.
Right.
Like Murder, comma, She Wrote.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
It trips you up, doesn't it?
Yeah. So Martin Sachs is in there. Now, he's playing Mario Condello.
Yeah.
But listen to this. I mean, the preparation for this has been years in the making. Martin Sachs has grown a mustache. Well, there you go. I'm in. 13 episodes, I'm in.
I'm detecting a lot of bitterness here. I'm detecting a lot of, hey, Squid on YouTube has had 10,000 hits. Why aren't I in
now,
this?
Now, do you reckon, Tone, look at these gentlemen, and these are all fine actors.
You've
got Guyton Grantley here from your Headland playing Carl Williams.
Oh, man.
Playing him as Hamish Blake by the looks of things.
They've wedged him into a tracksuit, and you're just going, it's got to be a sitcom.
Yeah.
It's just got to be all together now with Carl Williams.
Now, look at these guys. Yeah. If you see any of these suit salesmen, do not approach them.
I'd like to think that we'll come to love them just as we will the cast of Sea Patrol.
Oh, Sea Patrol. Hey, eh? The most exciting grey overalls on television.
When I saw this photo this morning, the first thing I thought was all the real blokes who this is about just calling each other up going, have you seen this, mate? Look at they've got playing you, bloke on Blue Healers.
You got, hey, look at that. Have you seen this playing you, mate? You got that poof from Sea Change. Hey? Happy about that?
Oh, I'd like to think that all of these actors will be spending time with the real counterparts on the job.
Oh, yeah.
Just lock them in a boot, drive them around the block a few times, get them used to it. Yeah. Okay, well, that's coming, and maybe that'll turn things around for Nine. I'd like to think so. A lot of good people involved, but What they need,
Tone,
is an exclusive first run movie.
Are you kidding?
I'm thinking Meat Pie.
Ah, Tone.
I'm thinking 8:30 Sunday night.
No, you can't put it out at 8. If you were going to show Meat Pie at 8:30,
Channel
it would go,
9.
Opening credits, black. Closing credits.
They put that naughtiest home video to you.
It lasted 20 minutes.
Sure.
We have goat sex in the first, before the credits.
This is a movie, a genuine Australian film, which Ed Cavalier plays the lead role in. It's kind of like Alvin Purple for a new generation.
No, it's far more, it's classier than that.
Going by the trailer, which I saw on a disc Ed had of it, and when I wanted to show it to Nikki and Matt,
And Richard and Cecilia. And Cecilia and some bloke you'd met at the servo.
And pretty much anyone with broadband.
Yeah.
When I tried to do that, suddenly, oh, I've lost the tone.
I have lost it, Tone.
You lost it in your old house, the catch-up.
Yeah, I've lost it in the catch-up.
Well,
you don't believe me.
Those women hate you, so obviously, if they've got it, they'll be only too willing to pass it on for our amusement.
Yeah. And if they do that, Tone, then you can see it. Otherwise, bad luck, son.
You haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I haven't seen a frame of it. I'm very excited about it, though.
Look at you. Look at that face.
Meat Pie. So it does open with the goat sex rutting.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that the opening?
Yeah. It's a throwback to Gallipoli. I think that's if you go back and watch the DVD, very briefly, that's how Gallipoli opens.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that this bloke who's made this film, you're saying he's having trouble getting it out.
Yeah.
If we could arrange a screening, like a special get this
brilliant
Moonlight Cinema style screening.
As if I'm going to allow that.
You could come out and maybe introduce like some of the more controversial sections.
Yeah. Everyone could wear a trench coat.
Could we do the commentary for the DVD?
Yeah.
There's an idea.
Yeah, what?
It's just
This goat didn't want to be a part of this. Oh, that's not our goat either.
It's just
we jumped a fence to get to that ostrich.
Ed Cavalier sobbing.
That's not real urine.
All right, well.
Yeah, thanks.
Is that the way to turn things around?
And why was I not in Underbelly? Now I'm starting to see.
I'm thinking maybe the answer lies in Midnight to Dawn. Maybe what Channel 9 are running after midnight is the key.
Really?
To their salvation.
Well, let's hear some.
Let's hear about that next. I'll get this. Oh, yes, that'd be Pink. Leave Me Alone here and Get This on Triple M. We've had a lot of contact about Meat Pie, Ed Cavalier's movie.
Look. You lot aren't going to see it for this exact reason. We'll be playing clips of that until I'm 105.
Leon from Gippsland, he's obviously writing to us from his submarine, says, yes, I looked it up on the Internet Movie Database. The reviews ain't too crash hot. Now, how can there be reviews if it hasn't come out?
Well, because those reviews have been written by, let's say, disgruntled crew members that may or may not have been paid for their work.
They're pretty disgruntled going by the one-star ratings.
Yeah.
Isn't it great when a film hasn't come out and the crew is already posting one-star reviews on the internet? That's a good sign.
It's underselling, Tone. It's underselling. We'll hit them hard.
And the making of it, I think, is going to be on Channel 9 called Underselly.
Oh, hang on.
What else is in the email?
Tony Tuesday. What else is in the email? Quickly distract. Throw a smoke bomb down. Dean from Geelong has also emailed in about Meat Pie. Doesn't seem too impressed by the reviews, but he says, check out the star meter on... Now, this site, the Internet Movie Database, they give people a star meter rating.
Yeah, you went down 14% this week.
No, according to this, Ed Cavalier has dropped 40%. Tony Martin down 15%. Richard Marsland up 3%. Interest in Richard Marsland has been generated. Well, how's that happened?
What have you done, Rich?
Well, based on that film where you were the class wag in 1992.
It's massive on the net. No, but how...
Have you got a grassroots campaign going?
I've got some action happening. Although I mentioned...
Flyer drop. Have you heard about Richard Marsland?
For your consideration.
No, but doesn't it work that people... The shows that you're aligned with or the movies
that
you're aligned
with... Well, you seem to know an awful lot about it.
Tell us through it, Rich.
The star meter, it's something like how many hits...
Dean from Geelong reckons you've been white-anting us.
Yep. I reckon he's just about right.
How can I do this?
I don't know. You seem to know all about how that site works.
Yeah.
No, I know about the star meter, though, because I read something about it, because I did see Ed Cavalier down 40%, and then it said, learn more about this. So I just went to that.
And what did you learn?
Then learned that if you hit certain things that people are involved with, then that means that the heat in that person rises.
Yeah. Okay. So what can we do to get that 40% reversed? get the trailer on YouTube.
Oh, that's never...
Why doesn't the bloke do it himself?
Oh, Tony,
too heavy a goat sex schedule to put the trailer for his own movie onto YouTube and create some free buzz?
It's an exhausting schedule. Got to find goats.
Who else is in
the
film?
Make sure the owner's not around.
Beside the goat. Who else is in the movie? It's...
Ostentatious.
Ostentatious.
Listen.
Is it Joe Ashton from Big Brother?
Yeah.
She's a lawyer.
Someone from Pizza is in there.
Yeah, Johnny Boxer. Also Aphrodite from Big Brother.
So and Ed Cavalli with his penis in a meat mincer. And listen, if you think I'm joking, wait till you see the trailer, which we're hoping will be up.
We're never going to see the light of day.
It's got to be there to close of sun up today. I want to see it up there. Okay, we're trying to save the Channel 9
You know
network.
What you should do? It's a better competition to get people to make their own trailer based on the things that we've said. All right, listeners, this is what you need. Joe Ashton, lawyer turned actress. Aphrodite, nothing turned sort of nothing. Johnny Boxer from Pizza.
Yeah.
And goat sex. Make a trailer, put it on YouTube, winner gets a prize.
Have we crept on too long?
Yep.
I'm getting the feeling we don't have time for that obscene phone call, Mr. Marsden. We'll get you to make one later in the program, however. More in a moment.
No, let's hear what they're talking about on AM radio. Sensible radio.
Let's do that next. There's some sizzle on Get This. Oh, yes, Tom Petty won't back down here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. Guys, do you watch 24? Did you see the last series?
They lost me when, a man had a nuclear missile in his head.
Yeah.
And he was trying to bang it on the floor to make it go off. I just thought, hang on a second.
Really?
Do I miss something here?
Do you remember there was this, you know, Powers Booth from Cy Tolliver from Deadwood?
Also all teeth. In U-Turn as well.
And yeah. He was basically reprising Cy Tolliver as the evil vice president.
Yeah.
And then
he's a bad guy.
The good president went into a coma.
Is that Palmer?
Yeah. So then Cy Tolliver took over. And he had all these nasty schemes he was going to run. And then he was just about to launch some missiles, and someone came in and said, oh, the president's regained consciousness. And, the president, you know, the vice president was sort of having a sip of tea, and you just saw this look in his eyes of, oh, my God, it's all going wrong for me. That's the same look I saw in Ed Cavalli's eyes when Cecilia just came in and said, Joe's just called up and said the trailer for Meat Pie is already up on YouTube.
Do you know what?
It was just this look, this deadly serious, halfway through having a drink look of, oh, my God, what does this mean?
Yeah.
This changes everything for my career.
I tried to stab myself to death with a plastic fork. Didn't go very well. With a spork and a splayed that I had. Slight bruising, that's all I could manage. No, you know what it is, Rich and Tone?
Yeah.
It's that I am terrible in it. I am just...
It's all about you. World. What about the... You're supported by Tatius, woman from Big Brother.
These guys are all great, but I am just... It is the world's worst performance.
So you're saying that maybe they should have got, I don't know, Jack Nicholson to whack his todger in a meat mincer, and it would have been more subtle and convincing. It
would have been more believable. You just never believe that I've lost it in a meat accident. You just never quite believe that.
We'll let the listeners be the judge of that. So go to YouTube. I'm assuming...
Don't go to YouTube.
You just type in meat pie trailer. Is that what you get?
Look, I don't know, Tone. How did this...
Well, we need to prove this is real, because
we don't
think this is something we've made up.
We had a running sheet. Look at it. It's got lots of different things written on it, none of which are... Drag Ed's horrible past up.
Yeah, well. Let's see what the listeners think. Okay, we'll try and change the subject. Mr. Marsden, you're sitting on gold, are you?
Oh, speaking of films and upcoming films and some of the exciting things happening
like
in films. Like Meat Pie.
Sure.
In the world of films.
YouTube.
Tom Cruise.
Check it out.
Is in this new film. Have you heard about this? About the Hitler movie? It's some sort of...
He's trying to win back the popularity that he lost on Cruise.
Well, he's in all kinds of trouble because it's a film about a guy who apparently was attempted assassination.
Oh, it's anti-Hitler.
Pardon me. But they're all annoyed because Tom Cruise is involved in the film. He's a bit of a German national hero, this guy. And you know your career's in trouble when they're making a film about Hitler and you look like the bad guy. People are complaining about you. It's a film about pure evil and Adolf Hitler as well. Poor old Tom Cruise, he just can't buy a trick.
Don't mind more Hitler movies, but don't let that Scientology bloke get involved. That'd be mental.
We'll have Hitler in his undies, sliding through a house, miming to who wears short shorts, sunglasses on. Doesn't make any sense.
All right.
Hitler did not drive NASCARs, Tom. Well, we'll see.
He does
now. We'll see about that.
All right, here's what we're going to do. People have been calling in saying the way to save Channel 9 is to finally play that final series of The Sopranos.
I hear you, Tone.
What happened last time? Remember they moved it? It was on...
Sexy New Tone.
It was constantly... you couldn't get a beat on the show.
No.
Okay, well, what happened last time was when they wouldn't leave...
it was nestled lovingly between the ads to text hot ladies for fun, Rich, and the religious programming at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Beautiful lead-in for the religious programming afterwards.
Perfect. Benny Hinn.
Yeah, absolutely.
On either side.
Nudging Benny Hinn.
Well, we've had a lot of requests to play this again. This is what happened last year when Channel 9 kept buggerising around with The Sopranos. We let loose Tony himself on them.
Hello, Nine Network.
Hello, is that Channel 9?
Yes.
Look, my name's Tony Soprano. Jesus Christ, what is this?
At 7:30, it's McCloud's Daughters.
What the
Can I help you, sir?
Yeah, hello. I'm calling about the show you got running there called The Sopranos.
Yes,
The
Sopranos.
Yeah, well, what the f*** are you doing to that show?
Sorry? Huh?
One day it's on f***ing Wednesday night, then it's on Monday night, it's on f***ing midnight. I can't find this f***ing show.
Well, we have moved the time slot.
That about?
Well, I'm afraid nobody's watching the show.
Right, okay, listen to me. When you think nobody's watching, that's when they're f***ing watching, okay?
Excuse me.
How f***ing stupid do you think I am?
I don't appreciate being spoken to in this manner.
Listen to me, right? Here's what you f***ing do. You get whatever f***ing bullshit you got going there in prime time. I don't know, Jules Lund or Carl f***ing Stefanovic, whatever shit you got going. You shift that out of there, right? You move it out.
Look, I'm
You put The Sopranos back on like 8:30 at night. Move your little skating bullshit, whatever you got going. Get it out of there, okay?
If you have a programming problem, you might want to call the
programming. Okay, listen to me. I'm not negotiating with you people, okay? What the f*** you got going on down there?
Look,
is this shit? Every f***ing night you got CSI. How many f***ing versions of that show you got there?
That show is very popular with our viewers and advertisers very favorably.
Oh, really?
Disposed towards
what, you got people paying for that shit?
Yes.
You want an air brakes in there?
Yeah, of course we are.
Where's my skim?
I'm sorry?
Huh?
What?
I want my envelopes. I'm going to send Paulie down there.
Who?
You get some f***ing envelope, some of that cash you got from that Crazy John Vodafone, whatever that shit is. You get it down to me here, right now at the Bada Bing, okay?
I'm sorry, this conversation
Okay, here's what you do. You put Pete Smith on.
Who?
I want to talk to that guy. I know he's run things down there.
I'm sorry, I don't know who you're
referring... Mr. F***ing Copperot, that's who I'm talking about. You put him on here. I know
have
that
to
guy's...
say, I don't appreciate this. I can't...
Okay, see if you can get your f***ing head around this, okay? People f***ing disappear, okay?
What?
You got your little, who's that guy? The TV hopeful, Jake Wall.
Yes.
Right? How do you think Australia's going to feel one day they wake up, there's no f***ing Jake Wall?
Huh?
See if you can live with that. Or who's that, that pretty boy you got down there? Ed Phillips, right? From the f***ing Temptation, whatever that shit is.
Yes.
One day you come in, Ed Phillips is gone. Can you imagine yourself trying to get by with no Ed Phillips, with no Jake Wall, with no Carl Stefanovic? See if you can work that shit out.
Sir, if you have a problem with...
I'm going to make this real f***ing simple for you, okay? You either put Sopranos on, or I'm going to come down there, I'm going to get into your little library stash, and I'm going to get out every f***ing episode of Don't Forget Your F***ing Toothbrush.
Right.
And I'm going to play it back to f***ing back every goddamn night.
Look, this is...
Think about that.
This is a very offensive phone call.
So you see how f***ing serious I am about this shit.
Look, I don't...
You stop moving my f***ing show around like it's, hiding. It's on the f***ing mattresses. You can't find the f***ing thing, okay? Keep it still. And one more thing. You got those people at that f***ing funny video show?
Mm-hmm.
You tell them to find a clip by Ed Cavalier with a guy in the mouse costume being punched in the face, okay?
Right.
I want to see that, and I want the prize. Hello? F***ing Cavalier. Shouldn't have mentioned f***ing Cavalier.
Okay. That reminds me. That was another attempt to help out the Nine Network. Sending in that mouse video to Funniest Home Videos. I never played it.
It's the greatest piece of... You know how there's those missing sort of 3.5 minutes or however long it is in the Kennedy assassination footage?
Right. No, I didn't, but okay.
My mouse costume surprise hit is probably better than that.
Okay. And Pete Smith mentioned in there, coming in later, and we'll...
Look at us, tying things in.
Yeah.
Hey?
What will the focus group say, Tone? They'll go through the roof.
Cecilia has just shown me that on YouTube, meat pie is one word.
And yes.
I'm assuming the director has put it up there because trailer is spelled T-R-A-I-L-O-R. So look for meat pie, trailer.
It's a pun.
And you'll find it.
It's a trailer full of sailors.
241 hits so far.
And great news.
I think that's all in the last 10 minutes.
And I think that's more people that saw Caterpillar Wish. So looking good. Looking good.
Okay.
Looking good.
All right, more coming up.
Apologies for my performance.
Get this. We cannot sit back and let this awful situation continue.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
Get this. Around the nation on Triple M, where our listeners are starting to realise we're not joking about a movie called Meat Pie. Meat Pie trailer. 4 minutes 40. That's very long for a trailer, Ed Cavalier.
I told you, Tone, that there was. We've done three shoots for the film. We did the initial one, but we didn't get everything we needed. Goats were uncooperative. So we came back, new goats, more into it. Hey, did that one. That didn't work. Then we came back because there was some tranny work that hadn't been done yet. So they did that. So the trailer that we're seeing is probably either a mashup of all of those things or the original trailer minus the trannies and the goat sex. Still plenty in there, kids.
Well,
still plenty in there.
And I should say, just on the other side of the coin, your other film, your short film, Squid, made by some talented gentlemen from up north.
Mr. Pearson,
up for some sort of award, is it?
Yes, we are. We're up for the Queensland something or other filmmaking something.
Oh, and, that one. It's very prestigious.
And I think previous winners have included Toadie from Neighbours and I'm making this up. I have no idea.
Well, good luck to you.
And those blokes that rip off good ideas for television commercials.
Oh, that lot.
Don't we love them?
The angriest I've ever heard someone on this show was Simon Pegg. From Hot Fuzz, when we mentioned how many of his ideas have been stolen for TV ads. Man, did he go off. Hey, we've got to have some music. It's time for music. What are we going to do today? Something different, Ed.
Well, you'll notice, Tone, that I'm dressed as Old Father Time. And I thought we might do a high school musical.
Oh, I love a high school musical.
Okay, so if you get a drum, Richard, or a drum for you.
Okay.
And Tone, you got some strings or a keyboard.
I can just do some interpretive dance up the back. Are you going to sing for us, Ed?
I am. Okay, everyone. Year 9, 2, 3, 4.
All right. Everybody. You ready, Ed?
I'm gonna make it bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show.
That's Fallout Boy. Thanks for the memories here at Get This on Triple M, pretty much everywhere. And we've been talking about Ed's upcoming film, Meat Pie, for the whole hour. I think he wishes we would stop.
So no, I'm in, Tone.
No, I'm thinking let's give this director, he's been slaving away on it.
This is his 11th film.
Really?
Mm.
How many have been released?
Well, Tone, not any, but I think George Lucas made 30 or 40 films before anything got released.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You know, I mean, Star Wars he just made for his friends.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe...
A lot of goat sex in that in the first cut.
Maybe Meat Pie needs some Star Wars-style marketing because you know what I reckon is good for marketing?
Ideas of other people's?
Fridge magnets.
People sneered at the fridge magnets. The fridge magnets and the hotline have provided innumerable leads.
I didn't know that... John Howard was behind the marketing of Meat Pie.
No, he had a fridge magnet coming.
This'll turn you around, Ed. Someone's congratulating you. Listen to this. Chris Menz says he was out
Chris
on...
Chris Menz. This is a name that we're meant to believe.
Menz.
Even more. Come on, guys.
M-E-N-Z.
People, fake names. Just use your real names.
Isn't your name Cavalier? I've never met anyone with that name before.
Made up.
Listen to this. Says Chris Menz, I was out on Saturday night for my boss's Bucks night. For some reason, we went to Hunchback's Theatre Restaurant.
Yes.
After a few drinks, it was amusing enough, but...
amusing enough. Put that on the poster. Amusing enough. Drunken man on Bucks night.
But at one point on stage, a genie was offering to make any wish come true. The protagonist, after giving it some thought, wished for the return of It's a Knockout.
Brilliant.
At this point, I couldn't help but start applauding and cheering. So after the show, I explained to my colleagues that I had to do it for Ed Cavalier.
Thank you very much.
Wow. So this weekend, I was at a theatre restaurant cheering for It's a Knockout. There's a top night. It's wonderful what booze will do. Yes, that's right. We're not only campaigning.
He's drunken Midori.
He's fallen over.
Oh, Igor, what are you doing?
We want It's a Knockout back. Nobody listens to
that. Not the Friday night Big Brother version. This is not what we're after.
I tell you who else emails us a lot. Marillion fans. When are you going to give us a talkback mountain theme? They're saying Maddie D has done it. All right, that's for all the haunting Marillionaires out there. Now,
it's haunting.
Here's what we like to do. Occasionally, yes, we like to go AM. We like to go triple AM.
We do, Tone.
Here, get this, so that everyone can have a whinge. What are you concerned about, Edward Cavalli?
Thank you very much. At 41 past the hour. Now, Sean Lazarus has emailed in and he said that he's alerted me to a story here of Pelican swallows pigeon in park.
Now, this is something the Brisbane Cage were flagging and it's taken off around the nation. What can you fit in a pelican's bill?
Absolutely right. Now, this rogue pelican has had a go at a pigeon in a park and has kept him in the in his beak. Or in his whatever you call that little sack that under his beak.
It's the bill.
All right, his bill for 20 minutes before swallowing it whole.
Wow.
And a spokesman said, it's almost unheard of for a pelican to eat a bird. Their diet should be strictly fish. What this says is they're branching out.
Well, going by our listeners, it's small children and dogs.
So if they can't find those, local poultry. Other local, and they're sending a message to the other birds. Just 20 minutes of, you like this? Yeah. Hey, you like this? You like this ibises? You like these seagulls? Want some of the same, do you? Step on up. Try your luck.
You want to spend some time in solitary here?
Exactly. So, but listen, Tone, I was listening to some AM radio yesterday.
Oh, yes.
And I heard this very rant about a similar topic.
Yeah.
It was called The Real Menace. Yes, you're on 6:01 AM and it's 11:30 in the AM. Now, there have been pages and pages in the press written about Princess Mary naming her daughter Isabella. Now, I'm not having a go at families. Oh, my word, no. But what is the big deal about Mary? A rich girl from Tassie goes to a nightclub and hooks up with a backpacker. Happens every week. I myself trawl the bars and alleyways looking for loose foreign tale of a weekend, and not a word is written about it. Why does the media blatantly ignore the real menace? Yes, that's right. I'm talking about pelicans. Oh, sure. Mr. Percival may look cuddly, but every day more and more kitties are being taken by these spotted bill maniacs, and yet we hear nothing. I myself have been inside a number of these creatures and will be silent no more. I'm calling on you, Mr. Newspaper Man. Enough with the stories of local girls getting knocked up in faraway palaces and more on the horrible shock of waking up in a dark, moist room and realising, oh no, they've swallowed me whole again. I'm Daryl Felch.
Daryl Felch, you say?
Yeah, I heard it, Tone, and I thought...
Word for word.
Word for word.
Okay, so how does this work? It's just a chance to have a bit of a... something trivial.
Something trivial.
Inflated to the status of a national issue. And obviously, if you're hosting an AM radio show, the idea is to just get all the axes you want to grind about things that have happened during a day that have pissed you off and bring them out on air.
And make it sound like everyone has the same problem.
I might have a crack at that now. Here's what happened to me yesterday. Are we living in naughty land? I'm calling it a nanny state. This is what happened to me yesterday. Left my Medicare card at a branch of Medicare quite a way away. So I thought I'll call them up and just ask them if it's there because I wasn't sure. Maybe I left it somewhere else. Try calling a Medicare branch. Mm. You can't get them. Have you tried this?
Yeah, I tried it last week, as a matter of fact.
What happened?
It takes forever.
What did they tell you?
Endless menus, on hold for ages, no one called me back.
No, so eventually you have to call their help number, and I'm going, okay, can you give me the number of such and such a branch? And they're going, oh, no, we can't give you that number. And I'm going, but I may have left my card there. And they're going, well, no, you can't call them. You're not allowed to call them. No one can call them at the actual branch. And I'm going,
it'd be anarchy.
But what about, you know, someone who works there's, you know, husband has just been held hostage by terrorists. How would you contact them? Oh, I could call them then because that's a personal call. The phones are only for personal calls.
Really?
So I'm going, so if I was to fashion my inquiry into a personal call, that would be fine. And she's going, no, I'll make the call for you. And I'm going, why is this? And she's going, it's because they're distracted from the job. And, you know, productivity is down if nonsensical calls such as this are put through. And I'm going, but hang on a second, you're going to call. So, in fact, now two Medicare employees are involved in this inquiry, whereas if I was just to call my own, only one would be involved.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Do you know what the problem is,
Tone? There was a lot more swearing, and obviously I was hung up on.
I was going to say, this is not normally how your telephone calls go, Tony.
Yes.
There's a lot more swearing and shouting and banging. Look, the problem, Tone, with Medicare is there's just a logjam of people sitting there in the turban doing gotcha calls. No one can get through. No one can get through.
So I have to drive all the way there,
yes, Tone.
Back there,
mm-hmm.
and ask them.
And did you?
So, well, no. In the end...
Firebombed the place.
There was a bit of trouble and I hung up in a huff. In an AM huff. But the thing is, if I drive there and talk to the person about whether my car... Aren't I using the same block of time that would be used if that same person had to pick up the phone and speak to me?
Yes, Tony.
You know when you're in a really bad mood and you're really angry at them and they say that they're going to monitor the call for coaching purposes?
That's good, isn't
it? Now and again I get so angry I go, yeah, no, record this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Put this one in the classroom.
I just love it because we had to call a lot of sex phone lines last year as John.
We had to, all right?
It was work-related.
Yeah.
As John Howard, which made it even more embarrassing. And a lot of the sex phone lines have, this call is being monitored for quality control purposes.
And can you just hear in the background, oh, yeah, oh, this is good training.
But okay.
This is great training.
What is the meeting like there?
Train on.
Do they get all the women into a room? Right, come on.
Okay.
Productivity's down. Let's go through some of these calls. That one could have been wrapped up 10 seconds quicker.
Now, when he asked you what you were wearing, you said a hessian sack. Now, come on.
You're just
people.
Padding.
Come on.
Get to the crux of the matter sooner.
Like this program. All
How
right.
How AM is this? What are you mad about, listeners? Are you a nutbag? Give us a call. There's no prize. Fill in some time for us.
1-3-3-5-3.
Oh, bad language on the radio, not on my watch. Here at Triple AM. That's right, we've gone AM at Get This around the nation on Triple M. Who's got a whinge head, Cavalier?
Hello, Nev.
G'day, guys. I just absolutely love your show.
Oh, cheers.
Thanks, Nev. What do you want to have a whinge about?
I want to whinge about people that stare down over those little half-pie glasses.
Don't we? Hey, give them a round of booze. I want booze for everything here today. Who's been giving that you?
Thank you, Nev. Providing his own booze. Good man.
Someone been giving you that stuff? Over the top of the glasses? At your
absolutely.
Work? Right. Who do we do? Does somebody do it around here, Richard, were you saying?
No, I was just saying Richard Carlton was very famous when he used to do his 60 Minutes interviews with taking the glasses on and off. He was doing Caruso before Caruso.
Wow. Even. Who have you seen doing this?
Nev's gone.
Nev's had enough.
No, sorry. They got to him.
My confusing delivery there, I think, was possibly to problems. Yes, here we go. More of them. Triple AM, who's next?
Hello, Cameron.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Excellent. What do you want to have a whinge about?
Anna Corrin.
Oh. What's she done now?
Last night, she attacked the Chaser boys again. It's because they innocently called some guy a pedophile.
Oh, look.
Oh, right.
You know.
Okay, so do you think her attacks on the Chaser could be described as fake?
Fake, yeah. Totally uncalled for. And I was hoping we could have a Corrin to duck and cook. And feed it to the pigs Deadwood style.
Wow. Okay, we're going to feed Anna Corrin.
Beautifully obscure, Cameron. Lovely work.
All right. I'd like to think maybe we could do a remake of Anaconda with Anna Corrin being slowly eaten by a large snake.
Or attacking Ice Cube.
I hate Anna Corrin.
There you go.
Okay. Sorted. Who wants to feed a celebrity to pigs?
Hello there. Heavily. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Hi. You know the guys at the back of the Age, in the Age diary?
Oh, the Melbourne paper, yes.
They're having another go at Daniel Kitson.
Oh, Daniel Kitson, the comedian who was out here and I think may have had some kind of run-in with them about secret gig.
He was doing secret gigs and they told everyone about it.
Well, they call it secret in quotation marks. They also call him an artist in quotation marks.
Yeah. You think they might have dropped it by now. It's not really a big issue.
Mm.
No, but they still have a go at him.
What's he done now?
He's doing another secret gig for the International Arts Festival in October. And then they say some of his fans think he's more suited to being a human installation with a lampshade over his head.
Right. I think all of this is because he came on the show and he said all that stuff and then they reported it in the paper. But did you notice when they reported it in the paper, they left out the bit that he said about one of the women from the column being spotted pashing a...
It's very true.
...a overseas comedian?
Yeah, I'm not sure they're too keen on that kind of stuff.
I have a feeling that is the reason they're going on with it.
Yeah, it might be.
I think
might just be.
Mr. Kitson may have struck a nerve.
A wonderful rant, Pat, and thank you for doing it from some sort of chamber.
Who else is bearded? Ed Cavalli.
Finally, Clayton, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How you going?
Excellent. What would you like to have a rant about?
Mate, our old favourite telemarketers.
Oh, what have they done? They've stopped calling?
Champions, no, the champions last week from Telstra rang me and offered to make my home phone cheaper. But the problem is, I don't have a home phone. They rang me on my mobile.
Excellent.
Yeah, so wonderful research.
So they're saying, at the moment, Clayton, you're paying $0 for a home phone. What if we could offer you the same service for $40 a month?
Well, I complained about people ringing up, and I said, if I want a service, I'll go on the internet or go out and get it, not deal with over the phone.
Exactly.
And he said, well, you could just not talk to me. So I sat the phone down.
What, and just let him talk to himself?
Yeah. So he not only lost a sale, he used our money, our taxpayer money, for Telstra.
Brilliant. And
on the call.
Probably running up a bill at his end as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I should have told him to hang up. It would have made his job cheaper.
Well, there you go. That's the way to deal with them. Nicely done.
Thanks, Clayton.
Beautiful. See ya.
Who else deserves to die horribly under the broadsword of justice, Ed Cavalli?
That's all the hate we've got time for, Tone.
Okay. Sorry about the half glasses.
Broadsword of
the
justice.
The half glasses spoke at the beginning. I think I might have confused him and he may have hung up in disgust.
We all
and
did.
He was really nice to us too.
He was a lovely guy.
I'm sorry about
that. Sorry, Pat, but we did love that.
I was attempting to fashion a joke from inadequate building materials.
All right.
I apologise. Hey, in the next hour...
Let's class this up a bit.
We've been ranting on about Channel 9 and what they've done wrong.
Yep.
We've got a man who works there. He's worked there, I think, longer than any other employee.
He's the soul of the network.
How has he managed to avoid a boning? Unboned. Oh, no, I think he has been boned and then unboned.
Unboned.
And then boned again and then unboned several times over the last 50 years. It's Pete Smith.
Get this.
People want ducks.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
What I want, cause I can, if I don't, because I wanna.
It's the second hour of Get This.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored, because I'm gonna.
And fumbling for the headphone volume switch, it's Pete Smith.
Yeah, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I can remember when we had, that wasn't just a a wind down for the cans. It was called a potentiometer.
Really?
Yeah, the techs had look at them all sparking their eyes up out there. The techs, the guys who climb the mast.
The roadies, we love
them.
They are.
They're radio equivalents of roadies.
We've got a potentiometer corner coming up later in the show.
That'll suit me fine.
Thanks,
great.
For coming in.
Thanks. Mind if I dust all the dust off? From years of vaudeville and burlesque. And I believe it's coming back, burlesque.
Leave it on. We love a bit of vaudeville here.
Burlesque
My first girlfriend was a fan dancer.
Really?
All right, you've got to lay it out. Fan dancing. All right, it's old-fashioned. Now I agree. But in those days, back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, it was a very artistic thing. And very, rather risque fan dancing with beautiful feather boas, strategically placed with nothing on underneath. And, of course, the way you work the fans, the girls work the fans, you never saw anything, but you thought you would see something.
Oh,
and the expectation was amazing. And, unfortunately, this girlfriend, she got a bit too smart. She wanted to modernise the act. She used an electric fan.
What
a mess. Silly girl.
We told him to leave the vaudeville in.
Have
you been to fandancing.com, Pete? Ours are very near blue. Just safe for work entertainment.
Lovely.
18 years, I work out, we've been abusing your services.
Is it 18 years?
18 years.
You must have just been out of the cradle.
Is there anything we haven't had you do? I think we had you doing... Jim Morrison's obscene poetry. We push you down a water slide in a tuxedo. You were chased out of a brothel with a dwarf in something we did.
Yes, I was in a waxworks at one stage, and I was even without my clothes on somewhere, I seem
to recall. We might have a bit. I think I've got a clip of that today.
You have?
Gee, that is sizzle.
Sizzle.
Here, get this. We will. Thank you, Billy Idol, to be a lover here around the nation on Triple M. It's Get This.
They're calling it Boghenge.
No, they're not. That's mystifying. It's Get This.
One bizarre brew.
That makes no sense at all. It's get this.
Oh, no, it's not, says Labour.
Can you just stop it? Is that monkey that we sacked a couple of years ago come back, Richard?
My bad. Sorry, what, Tony.
We need some professionalism in here. Let's bring in Pete Smith.
The old theme, hey?
There it is.
21 years of that, you know.
21 years of responding to those syndromes. Pete, we've got you in here, well, because we just love having you in for a natter, because the listeners have demanded it, but also there's this book out at the moment, Who Killed Channel 9? I think it's still in the shops. Word are it's going to be pulp. That's the talk I'm hearing.
I was down in a little seaside resort not far out of town at the weekend, and a little news agency where you wouldn't expect to find much, you know, in the way of new releases, and you couldn't climb over the copies.
Is that right?
In the afternoon, half had gone.
Oh.
So it's really creating a bit of attention in seaside resorts.
Now, are you the longest serving employee at the Nine Network? Would that be true?
In Melbourne...
Yeah, I'm not including...
Down in Melbourne I am.
Yeah.
But up in Sydney, I think there are others that have been there longer.
Yeah, I'm not counting puppets.
Those guys who jump on the mast I spoke about.
Yeah, that lot.
Yeah, no puppets.
All right.
So what does that make me?
Well, I guess that makes you some kind of authority. That's what, well, as far as this show's concerned.
Mm, absolutely.
What is the feeling on the ground at Nine at the moment?
I think it's just a matter of interest about reading the book, obviously. God. I think everybody is... almost bought a copy of the book that I can lay my fingers on, yeah.
Have you gone to the back and looked up Smith, comma Pete?
I don't bother doing that anymore. It's never there.
It's really?
Never there.
I noticed you didn't show up in the King, the telemovie about Graham Kennedy.
I think it might have hit the cutting room floor. I was mentioned, I was credited as a script consultant on that.
And what did you do there?
I never saw the script.
Okay.
So, you know, but I gave him a few leads and a few bits and pieces about.
Now, if you
but nothing licentious, of course, because we were mates, Graham and I, and we're all a big happy family. I know that's a cliche, but it was absolutely true. How do you think we lasted so long?
And what did you think of the movie? Did you watch it?
I thought the movie was, yes, I watched the movie, and this is the first time I've been asked that on here.
Okay.
I thought they did a terrific job. I mean, there are a million and one treatments you can do on the thing.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job. 19-day shoot or something. It was a miracle.
It was.
It looked so good.
Curry did a brilliant job.
Oh, Stephen Curry was... I don't think you could have done the movie without Stephen.
No.
Stephen's performance. And the young fellow who played Bert, I thought he was good too.
But at the same time, I've noticed whenever there is a movie about a real-life comedian, and if you can think of the Peter Sellers one with Jeffrey Rush, you can go back to the one about Buster Keaton...
I know what you're going to say.
O'Connor, the one about Andy Kaufman with Jim Carrey. It's the same movie every time. The Sad Clown. Mm. Oh, the laughs out the front, but behind the scenes.
No laughs.
Tears before bedtime.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can turn it into a laugh fest, but the real action is behind the scenes.
Yes.
When the lights go down, the curtain comes down, that's where the real action starts. That's where the drama begins, and that's why they focus on it, I suppose, every time.
What would have been a scene that you would have liked to have seen in that telly movie?
I would have liked to have seen the sequence where Graham is given a brand new caravan.
Yes, that's right.
Because it was an era of caravan, but let's face it, it was an old soup factory, Channel 9, so they didn't have the room. They had a beautiful new studio they built for him, but they didn't have the room for dressing rooms and things. So the stars, Bert and Graham and so forth, Tommy Hanlon Jr., they all had caravans on the back lot. They gave Graham this enormous new caravan. And they asked him only one thing. They said, it's beautiful, it's got everything in it, you know, the whole thing. But the only thing we haven't got, Graham, it's not plumbed. You can't use the toilet. You'll have to come up to the main dressing room to use the toilet.
Right.
Now, you never told Graham what to do. Because if you gave him an instruction, he went the opposite way.
Oh, dear.
It took 3 weeks, I think. Oh, one day short of 3 weeks for Graham to be exposed as doing his business in an unplumbed toilet. And a friend of mine who was the house manager looking after the cleaners and everything had to do what he wouldn't ask his staff to do, go down and dispose of it. So he rang the company and said, what do I do to undo the hooks, to, you know, to undo the wheels and God knows what? And they sent him out some instructions, faxed it out. There were faxes in those days.
Yes.
It was a revolution. And he went down there with these big spanners, crawled underneath, had quite a few buckets and things because he knew it was going to be unpleasant. But unfortunately, one of the O-rings was a reverse twist on it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And, it wasn't pleasant, that
guy. It's a new take on the old...
Nobody went near that guy for 3 weeks.
Yeah. What is it, a new take on?
It's a very new take on the old pie in the face gag.
It is, yes. And Graham had the last laugh on that.
Well, it's got at least it has a tag.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sorry to do shit tags on radio at this time, especially at lunchtime,
well,
folks.
We normally wait till Friday, but fine, we love it. Hey, what about, but hang on, so you're saying that even there, Graham Kennedy was a comedy pioneer, because I think that was in the first Jackass movie.
There was a fair bit of unplumbed toilet work.
Well, they must have pinched it from Graham.
It was one long unplumbed toilet. Okay, enough about the King. What about some of Pete's early work?
Mm.
What about the time you were locked out of your hotel room in the nude at the Logies? Let's get to that next. That's Rob Thomas, Little Wonders here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Pete Smith is here.
Rob, he made $1 million, you know, just tuning up. Fantastic, that guy. Fantastic.
Did you play, I think you told me once, Pete, that you basically invented the rock video here in Australia. Not invented, but...
Well, absolutely. When we were doing the little hit parade on a Saturday afternoon on the sports show, we had nothing to play, so they used to do sports results typed on lavatory paper and roll it in front of the camera.
Wow.
And they said, oh, we want you to introduce the 10 top tunes and we'll run the sports results. And I said, oh, that's okay. Well, after a few weeks, we ran out of sports results for every break in between the pop numbers. So I said, well, wait on, we'll show... We'll have some, flip cards with the stars. And I just
flip
used to
cards.
Flip cards, and that's where it came in, because we used to physically flip the cardboard with the pictures on it.
With the pictures?
With the photos and cut out of magazines, never mind the copyright, you know.
Now, what...
Flip cards.
Would you remember what year that would have been, Pete?
Yeah, it was 1962, 63.
62, because when was the first rock video? You often hear the Beatles, I think, credited.
The first ones that we used to run were... clips given to us from the movie companies, like Blue Hawaii with Elvis Presley, or Wooden Heart. They give you the little clip, and it'll be
wooden.
Black and white clip. Very. But they were the first, really. They didn't know it at the time.
Well,
they were the first video clips.
That's good enough for us. I'm saying Pete Smith, the original Spike Jonze.
Brilliant.
The original Michel Gondry.
Some of your early Daft Punk work, Pete, is just...
Yeah, but when you say Spike Jonze, you mean Spike Jonze, but when I think of Spike Jonze, I think of the City Slickers.
You're thinking of an insane man with a lot of xylophones from the previous era.
You could do worse than play one of those. At least they finish together. But like some of your acts... Some of the music on this station.
Oh, don't go the music. We're very respectful of the music here. We won't hear a word against it.
Well, I want to hear a bassoon solo before I leave today.
We'll see what we can do. See how the bassoon solos are testing with the demographic. What else is going on down there at 9? I have to say, I was a witness to a pilot that was shot at Channel 9 maybe last year, maybe a little... further back, it was a pilot involving Marty Sheargold and Fifi Box from the Shebang.
Quizmania?
No, it wasn't in the Quizmania format. Maybe that was the problem. I have to say, it was a really good pilot, an excellent pilot. And
Nothing happened.
You can't shed any light. I'm not even sure if I should be talking about this, but it was a really good show.
Let me make a few inquiries and get back to you on another guest segment up the track.
I mean, Fifi Box.
I know,
Box,
it sounds good. What
Fifi
they
Box
do?
Is blonde, and let's not deny it, has large breasts.
There you go.
I mean, I would have thought that would have got on the Nine Network, Pete.
Well, it helps.
I think it'd get on any network, wouldn't it?
Good
I remember
you.
I saw her down there once in the canteen. She turned around, bloody near knocked me out.
Oh, look.
Hey.
Steady. Oh, look, you can talk, Pete Smith, because I remember at the Logies a few years ago, there was... what was that incident? Remember? It was reported in all the papers. It was probably maybe a decade ago, where a celebrity, I think a Nine celebrity, was locked out of their hotel room in the Nutty. Do you remember who it was?
I don't know.
Don't say Laurie Oakes.
That wasn't Laurie Oakes. No, I remember it happening. It actually happened, and a very prominent personality at the time.
Well, I think we may have claimed on Martin Malloy that, in fact, it was you, and I've got a recording. I think Mick is actually in this, and I think Glenn Ridge might do an appearance.
Glenn Ridge, the host of Sale of the Century.
Where's Glenn Ridge these days? What's he up to?
Glenn's making independent productions, boat shows and car shows.
It's
and
gone edgy.
He has.
Indie work.
He has.
Showing up... I don't know, Reservoir Dogs style.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what Glenn's up to, but here's what you were up to a decade ago.
Oh, bloody hell. What time is it? Oh, for Bert's sake, where's that phone? Ow! Oh, why can't they put the light switch in the obvious place?
Now, where's that bloody phone? Can't see a thing. Uh-oh. Oh, no. I'm completely stuck.
dark as except for... Oh, thank God I'm still wearing the bow tie. Now... Oh, no.
G'day, Pete.
Mick, I,
Hey, hey, hey. You should go downstairs. Everyone still up. They're playing movie title charades. John Laws got up to do one, and before he even reached the stage, I yelled out, Dead Man Walking! And won a meat tray. Hang on. What's going on here?
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a grown voiceover man naked before?
Yeah, but whose room are you trying to get into?
It's Elle McPherson. She ordered me scrubbed and sent to her room.
Yeah? Well, why isn't she coming out? Oi! Elle! Remember me? It's your first husband!
Oh, shh! Mick, I'm... Oh, no! Gotta run!
All right, Pete, I'll get us started, mate!
Oh, this is a disaster! I've got to try and sneak down to reception and get a towel or something. Okay. Oh, hi, everyone. Don't forget Sale of the Century's Nude Celebrity Week. Oh, no, it's stopping again.
Oh, g'day, Pete.
Oh, Tone, thank God. Can I borrow that?
Sure.
I love the Australian.
Yeah, I can see that. Wow, you must really love the Australian.
Now, where's that foyer?
So, who wants to try... Hey, look, everyone, it's Pete Smith.
Good evening.
Pete, care to have a go at a movie title charade?
Well, actually, I'm...
Here, let me take that paper.
Is the answer Anaconda?
Oh, there you go. Dear, oh dear, Pete. What were you up to?
I'm in a cold sweat already.
Well, you know.
Thinking, I don't even remember that sketch.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things you don't remember.
No.
And we've got them all on file. We're looking for ideas that you can take back to Nine, because obviously you're getting a bit of bad press with this book. Mm. We're going to turn things around, Pete.
I'm glad to hear it. Show me what you've got.
Well, the listeners, they'll come good next.
Get this.
A con job so brazen and so low, it takes your breath away.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
It's... Sorry, Pete, I'm just... in case some of the ad breaks are still going in various states. It's
good. Yeah,
this.
That's good. That's good.
Around the nation. Good.
Takes up that delay. Are you on delay, incidentally, in case any expletives hit the air?
We are, I think. Yeah. But, you know, if you really think about it, it would have been used about 7 times already. I think you would have set it off early.
Yes, that's right. Of course.
But, no.
Forgive me for that, will you? But,
no. What about Channel 9?
Word fertilizer instead of shit. Sorry. Or even manure would have been more acceptable. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I like is that, you know, when you watch that Graham Kennedy movie, The King, it opens with his famous crow call incident. And you go, that was like, that was a massive controversy, wasn't it, in the early 70s?
Well, yeah.
Or not? Is that sort of hammed
up? The thing is that Mike McCall Jones recalls this. The crow call, it just didn't happen one night.
Right.
Graham was doing bird calls to put, you know, the commercial presenters, Rosemary Morgan, and people doing live commercials on the show. He was doing those to put them off for 18 months, 2 years.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what I love is that's now a joke in Shrek for kids.
Oh, is it?
Really? Well, it is.
Times have changed.
Lord Farquaad.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, right.
Don't call in. It's in a children's movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right over their head, hopefully.
It's essentially the same joke, and it's now PG. What can we do to revive the fortunes? And not that they need reviving, but just reverse things down at Nine. There just seems to be a lot of bad press down there at the moment.
I don't know about that. I don't get that atmosphere down there walking the corridors. It's still a bright and breezy place, and I think that the death, so-called, is greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's more of a media phenomenon.
Oh,
it's a perception thing. Well, what can we do to change that perception? Ed Cavalier's been pitching the return of It's a Knockout. Now, I think that was a Channel 10 show, or obviously Channel O is where I used to watch it in Brisbane.
I thought it was 7 with the pool, the swimming pool that they've now boarded over for dancing.
Nah, man, oh, man.
Oh, man, okay. I know you're... Oh, okay.
home of the... remember the main event?
Oh,
yeah.
It
was like the biggest game show set in history. You could see that from the moon.
Incredible.
But we're saying, what can Nine do to reverse this perception? All what right. do you got for us, Ed?
Okay. You know the... have you seen Girls Gone Wild, Pete?
No.
All right.
Describe it.
So
when can you put me in touch with them?
No. Can do. Yeah, you got the internet? Well, the idea is that we take some girls to spring break in America, or is this a sort of a beer... fueled sort of crazy mayhem, and then people kind of expose themselves to camera. And it's very popular in America and in here as well.
Right.
So I was thinking, the Packer's wedding wasn't very interesting. What they should have done is Packer's wedding gone wild. Now that would have been incredible. See, there you've got Eddie Maguire putting his manhood in the desserts. That's good footage. Alan Jones waving his flag at the groom. Wonderful.
The drop of a hat.
Wonderful stuff. I mean, the kids would be buying the DVDs for years.
All right, very hard to find a place to do the commercial break from what you're describing there, Ed.
Packer's wedding gone wild, and of course the Naughtiest Home video. Every time we do this.
Pete, have you ever seen the full-length Naughtiest Home videos? It must be in the archives somewhere at Nine.
Oh, the one that was done by our disc jockey friend.
Yeah.
Doug Mulray.
The one that was taken off the air.
Yeah.
And Doug was a third of the way through.
Every time we do like a phone-in like this, people call up saying you've got to play it. And the view seems to be that the public would be ready for it now.
We're ready.
I think everybody would be ripe for it. Let me take that idea back.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Other ideas, Mr. Marsland? Pete.
This is going to sound crazy, but bring back Sheffield Shield.
That's a great idea.
Because there was Sheffield Shield coverage back in the 80s on Channel 9 for about 9 or 10 hours a day, as far as I can recall. And I think that maybe daytime television is all the more poorer for it.
Are you desperate to see Wade Seckham swinging the willow for Queensland, are
yes,
you?
I want to see Tim Zura come back.
Desperate to hear tiny smatterings of off-mic applause.
Sheffield Shield rocked the house.
I once went to a game of Sheffield Shield, and we were in the grandstand, and there were four of us in the whole grandstand, but there was still one of those guys walking up and down with the drinks. Drinks! Drinks.
And I know it still happens. It's still a wonderful competition, but it's not broadcast
anymore. Wonderful competition.
What about just for one night? Just for one night, Channel 9 running prime time all of the shows they normally run on the midnight to dawn that are really good, that people love and eventually watch on DVD, like The Sopranos, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, like The Wire, like the ones that they've had to even give away, like Big Love.
Mm.
Why not just do that? You know, because people, the reason they don't is because there's this view among TV programmers that the public are idiots.
Yep.
And it's somehow that would be too intellectual for them.
Anything higher than Jamie Drury, they're just not going to get it.
And yet the public proved them wrong with Arrested Development.
You know it.
Which was a 7 debacle. Mm-hmm. You know, pissed away at midnight.
Mm.
Now you can get it at Coles.
Mm.
People aren't as dumb as people say they
Absolutely
are.
Not.
What about that for an idea?
Yeah, I don't know. I think so many American hits don't make it here. They won't work. They don't work. And you know, Nine of way back, Hill Street Blues, what a classic series.
Yes.
Never worked in Australia.
No.
They placed it everywhere they could.
What about if you just
everywhere
run them full frame, but then down in one corner, just a box with some Norgs?
Oh, well, you see,
there you go.
So you're going, okay, there's 6 feet under. Oh, I'm losing interest in the tangled narrative. Check them out in the corner.
A wooga.
Multicasting, it's coming. You're already talking future right now. That's what's going to happen with the digital.
Oh, okay.
It'll allow you to put two pictures on the screen at one time, and
yes,
it's already happening on the cable.
All right,
you can press that red button and get your boobs or whatever you like. You know?
Dial up some boobs. Cross that. Look how phone calls have just dropped off. I think a lot of people were calling up with boob suggestions.
That exact,
what do you want to see on the Nine network to reverse the perception that somebody's killed it?
Mm.
Give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3. That's Queen. Here we get this. Another one bites the dust. It's Triple M around the nation. Pete Smith is with us, lending a touch of class and professionalism. Of course, one of the many voices down at Channel 9. What are some new ideas for the Nine network? Who's got one, Ed?
Brad, are you there?
Yeah, hi, mate. How are you, Ed?
Excellent, mate.
Tony, Richard,
Pete. G'day, Brad.
Howdy.
Hiya.
What are we going
to... I reckon Jeremy Sims' backside chances.
But bring it back, dust off the buttocks, and bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back, just bring chances back. It was fantastic show.
Every cameraman in the building wanted to be on that show. Every cameraman.
And what do you remember about it? I mean, it started out with a fair bit of nude work, but by the end it was just crazy. There was a vampire running around, wasn't there?
I know Harry from the Sullivans was on ecstasy,
Is that in the show?
Unrelated story?
Yeah, on the show.
Yeah.
It was getting really, really stupid. I just preferred the all the rooting and stuff. Like, it was just getting ridiculous later on.
Fair Fantastic.
So that was all that banging noise in Studio One, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, okay, that's a good
Thanks
idea.
For the call,
I'd like to see you promoting that. Don't forget all the rooting and stuff you need later on Chances.
Hi, Kim, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Excellent. What do I need to bring back?
I reckon, I don't know if anyone remembers, Denton had a show on years ago called The House from Hell.
Yes!
Now, this was way before Big Brother, wasn't it?
This show was better than Big Brother.
Mm.
And I'm a Big Brother fan.
I think this was actually on the 10 network as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, 10 network. Oh, it was on the what?
10. Channel 10 had that.
I think it might have been, and they also did it sort of, they were in cahoots with a radio station, if I remember rightly.
Triple M.
And they could still go to work and do their normal stuff. But they were, like, locked in on weekends and they were living, like, on conditions. They had, like, the black day where they had to eat burnt sausages and and olives and black foods. It was just the funniest show.
And it wasn't a hit, but it was essentially an early version of Big Brother, wasn't it?
Oh, it was better than Big Brother.
Wow. Yeah, because it was nastier. That's what I like. Like, they put them all... Like, in Big Brother, you can just sit around getting a tan, discussing how hot you are. But in the house...
No, that was good.
Nastier. Is that possible?
I remember there was a hippie that used to give one of the girls a hard time because when she'd get all upset, they'd tell her to go and have a bong and settle down.
There you go.
Into the bong room.
Bring back hippies. All right.
Okay, Pete. I mean, did... you know, when... Back in the... 60s when you were hosting Fancy Free, was there any kind of you know, did anyone imagine what television would become like Big Brother? Was there
nobody realized it at all? Nobody realized that it would even burst into colour, for God's sake, back in those days. No,
when you guys were giving away cartons of cigarettes as prizes to families,
cartons of cigarettes, and I saw an old Sale of the Century clip where, you know, the fame game and the three of them, you know, and the camera pans from one to the other and the three contestants are there concentrating with their hands on the buzzer, and this guy, and I don't know, it must have been 1980 or something when the thing first started, and this guy, and it wasn't a gag, but it was the most hilarious sequence, the camera's panning along and here's this guy in the middle, this fat guy, and he's one hand on the buzzer and a fag in his mouth going,
I know.
I mean, that's the way it was.
I know. I think the barrel girl was shooting up. It was a different time.
No fags allowed in the studio now, I can tell you that.
It was an earlier age. Who else has got an idea, Ed?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Well, mate, we're excellent. What can they do?
They can bring out marathons.
Oh, yeah. What are you thinking?
There's going to be hundreds of old sitcoms they've got the rights to.
Bob Morrison?
Back when they were good. You know, the early seasons are Happy Days and...
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Now, this happens a lot on your Foxtel, but you don't often see the 24-hour marathon.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Mm. What sort of show... What would you like to see, your ultimate marathon show?
It'd probably be the second season of Happy Days.
Oh, now, Ed, you're not a fan of Happy Days, are you?
Let me guess, Mike. Chachi couldn't get a girl to go steady with him, so Fonzie took him into the toilets for 20 minutes and they came out with an answer. Is that about right?
I don't think Chachi was in the second season.
No.
An aficionado.
Like sixth season. Something like that.
Whatever.
When Fonzie got too old.
Well, some great ideas here.
What about the 24-hour telethon? I used to remember the telethons used to go for a long time. You'd go to sleep at 9:30 at night as a kid, and then you'd wake up at 5.
And Philip Brady would still be in the seat.
Still be singing.
But he'd have a Unabomber-style beard, look a bit of crazy.
And weren't the guests, wouldn't they get sort of drunker and drunker as the later we got?
No,
of course not.
Definitely not. There was no liquor allowed in those two.
How dare I?
Not on camera. All right, we've got a lot of callers with a lot of ideas. Let's keep them on hold. We'll have a song. We'll meet them next on Get This. Oh, it's Get This Around the Nation. I think that was Good Charlotte.
The best Charlotte there is.
Thank you, Mr. Haslam.
Great
Haslam.
Number, isn't it? Yeah.
And thankfully, the dance floor now has an anthem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's about time.
Too long.
We've got Pete Smith with us, and that's always a treat. Listeners have been calling up with suggestions for the Nine Network because obviously you're getting a bit of bad press from this book.
Who it's have we only got on a the... perception.
Yes, it's perception. That's all it is.
Hi, Joel.
Hi, how you going?
Excellent, mate. What can they do?
Mate, there's a bit of story to mine, but 2 weeks ago I was at a pub in Brisbane and I saw a live event, and it was actually professional pillow fighting called PFL.
Professional pillow fighting.
Now, what were the rules? Was it sort of greasy pole action or standing upright?
This was pretty full on, and I actually sort of looked into it a bit after the night because it was pretty fun, and it's huge in America. And it's on ESPN, apparently, every week.
What are the participants doing? What are they dressed in?
Remember gladiators?
Yes.
I think uniform similar to that. It was only females. Mm. But, boy, they let rip.
What's the prize?
Sorry?
What do they get as a prize?
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Who cares?
I didn't really need to know many details. It was just pretty good to watch, basically.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
Prime time pillow fighting.
Very visual medium.
I think on Fox, you've just got Foxtel now.
I'll tell you what, I woke up this morning and there was a Barry Manilow concert on.
Yeah.
Good times.
And you're paying for that?
Hang on, what were you saying there, Joel?
The guy, when he said chances, it made me think Alvin Purple.
Yes. Alvin Purple, and of course, Alvin Rides Again.
Mm.
You put them on in prime time. Is this, stuff that could work, Pete?
Oh, look, I'm making all these notes. Believe me, I'm going back with my head swollen with ideas. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
On Foxtel, there is some sort of show where it's wrestling and baked beans, isn't it, Mr. Marsden?
I don't know. I know they have like extreme sports sort of corner where they have like very strange sports from around the world, not necessarily.
What do you mean, like rhino fighting,
like just tug
man
of wars
v rhino?
And, yeah, tug of wars,
cheese roll.
Yeah, the scissor rock
what,
paper.
What is that mime?
Yeah, I don't know. You don't want to see
some
that
sort
mime.
Of Turkish grip. All
That's
right.
not going to be on the website.
Oh, thanks to digital.
finally, hello, Paul. How are you?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks. What should they do?
Now, this is serious. I reckon we should have a quiz game show about movies, and I reckon Tony should host it.
Oh, Nerdsville. Nerdsville City Limits.
See, Paul... But if Tony gets to write the questions, we may go for 9 months of this program, not one person ever getting one question right. And Tony just getting more and more frustrated, saying, come on, people, City Slickers 2, third assistant director, it's easy.
Don't go and slinging off at Tony. He's a movie buff consummate, you know. He loves anything that moves on a sheet. Excuse the expression.
Here's what happens. About 3 or 4 times a year, and this has happened for probably the last 15 years, someone calls me up and goes, hey, why don't you host a movie show on the TV? Mm. It'd be great, and you could say what you want about movies.
And I agree with Paul. I think it would be great, Tony. Mm.
But what always happens is you pitch a show like that, and of course, when you say that you're going to be honest about what the movies are like, the film companies all get together and go, we're not going to get any clips then. We're not going to let you have any clips. So what happens is cut from, it's going to be edgy and different, and we're going to say what we reckon. And then you cut to the show, and it's Antonia Kidman on the red carpet going, we're here at the premiere of The Fantastic Four.
Yeah, we're here at Norbit, the funniest movie I've seen this year.
That's always how it plays out.
All right.
So you'd have to do it like footy show style with no, you know.
Fatty Vaughton in a G-string.
No, remember, it wasn't the thing with the footy show, they didn't have the clips from the footy.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's the whole success of the footy show. They didn't have the clips. And they haven't got them now, and it's still as big as ever.
Yeah.
Maybe the way to go is just to reenact the clips from the film.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Maybe you could do that.
Now we're being interesting.
What about some just stills on flip cards?
There you go. Pete Smith style.
And a water wheel.
That would look quite good.
A water wheel?
A flip book with stills cut out.
Absolutely. The water wheel, a waterfall. We've got a waterfall as well. We've got babbling brooks.
Well, Paul, thanks for your idea. Thanks for your interest. Thanks to everyone who called. We've got one more song and then we'll wind things up in a moment. I'll get this. There'd be no doubt it's my life here at Get This on Triple M.
Get a copy of that?
Yeah, Pete Smith, what were you saying off mic?
Great music.
Most interesting story in the world about how the flip cards, obviously, and then how the Graham Kennedy's show was recorded to send over to the troops in Vietnam.
It's a long story. Ask me back.
We are going to have to get you back for a 6-week checkup, if that's all right,
Please.
Pete.
You know it.
Thanks for coming in. Obviously, you'd like to promote the Nine Network as a whole.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Watch Nine. It's fine.
And when will Fancy Free be coming back? That's what we're pushing for. What a great show that was. Thanks for sitting in. I apologise to anyone following the show. We just had too many good callers with too many good ideas.
They were great.
And our key phrase today, well, it was something you requested, Pete. A bassoon solo. You never know what we'll play next. A Triple M.
This is dizzy stuff, folks.
We'll be back tomorrow with Bob Franklin. Yes, wheeled in the Hannibal Lecter mask, and hopefully he won't drop the magic. It's all thanks to that 4x4 with the huge pulling power, the Nissan Navara.